Hey, it's Andrew, and I want to thank all of you for listening and supporting the show. We'd love it if you'd take a moment to leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe. The link is in our show notes. In return, we'll shout you out on the podcast, and if you give us your Instagram handle, we'll link to you on our social media as a token of our gratitude. This review comes from Striped Pajamas. I deeply appreciate how relatable and down-to-earth Andrew is. He's very open about his life and experiences, and it helps everyone really connect to him. He does his research and asks the best questions, ones that dig deep into each individual's story and journey. I felt so encouraged to explore different aspects of yoga and spirituality through the Yoga Talk Pod, and I can't wait to hear more. It also helps that Mary and Andrew are the cutest couple. I love them. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support, and thank you so much for your review. If you would like to leave a review, we would like that too. Subscribe as well on our iTunes channel.
Good morning, afternoon, and good evening to our listeners around the world. We have breaking news concerning a suspected act of compassion. We're still gathering information as it comes in, but the individual is also accused of inspiring large groups of people, being open-minded, committing acts of kindness, and displaying signs of authenticity. Stay tuned as we give you all the breaking details on your source for all the news that matters.
Grace Teel, welcome to the Yoga Talk Pod. We have changed our name from the Yoga Moves You podcast, and I just put an explanation up about why we changed our name up on Instagram, and it has to do with iTunes and how we populate like number 10 when you search for yoga podcasts on Spotify, and we're like number 12 on Google Podcasts. When you search on iTunes, the wrestler Stone Cold Steve Austin shows up twice. We don't show up at all. So I'm like, we need to fix something. And my SEO person kind of like helped us out and said iTunes does something different. So that is why we are doing what we're doing. We're also using video. Anyway, that's my story. Grace Teel, all the way from Brisbane, Australia. What time is it there? I know when this airs, it's going to be all different times, but currently right now, while we're filming this, it is 8:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Charlotte, North Carolina, United States of America. Grace Teel, your location and your time, please.
So I'm in Brisbane, in the state of Queensland, Australia, and it's 10:11 a.m. In fact, it's Thursday, so happy International Yoga Day. It's the 21st of June, so that's for you, Andrew.
And did you know that actually we're kicking off? Now, this is going to air a little bit later into season two of what used to be the
Right.
So, but tomorrow is episode one of the new season of what used to be the Yoga Moves You podcast, but now is Yoga Talk Pod. You know, same show though, so no big deal. But yeah, happy International Yoga Day and summer solstice.
Yes, summer solstice. Yeah, it's gonna be, at the moment, this is our winter. So it's not feeling anything like summer for me. Like this is as cold as it gets here in Queensland. So that's why I'm kind of like all rugged up in my jumper here. I have like my boots on. Well, I had them on. I just took them off just now. So
how cold does it get, Grace? Just out of curiosity.
You're going to laugh at me because it's cold for us. But this morning is about 9 degrees. Like that's cold, right? Like for me, like I had a scarf and a beanie, the whole thing.
I have to add 32 plus 9. Okay, so that's 41 Fahrenheit. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yes. So cold enough for me to wear a beanie. And normally the sun is shining. And if you've seen my Instagram page, Andrew, you'll know I'm on the beach like 24/7.
Yeah. Okay, so for me and the rest of the people that aren't familiar with the landscape of Australia, like we know where it is. We know, you know, some knowledge of it, but not really where every city is. So where exactly is Queensland and Brisbane located in the landscape of the continent and country of Australia?
So it's like, it's along the east coast, right? So if you think of Sydney, you probably know where Sydney is, which is kind of New South Wales. If you drive for 12 hours up the border, like up the coast, then that's where we are. So we're kind of really spoilt for beaches up there because we're really just along that coastline. We can go maybe another 12 hours and we're at the Sunshine Coast, and then 12 hours we're at Bondi. So we're like perfect smack bang in the middle.
It looks so beautiful. I see pictures.
It really
of course,
is.
You know, now that we have the magic of Instagram and the internets, the interwebs, we can condense our world and get exposed to it more than just encyclopedias and microfiche, if you remember that. I'm dating
myself. You know, looking at like the Instagram feed, like at the moment I'm seeing all the kind of what are those things that the yogis wear on their legs?
Oh, like the 80s leg warmers.
Yeah, that. And like, yeah. So that's, I mean, that's what I'm into right now because it's so cold and all the bikini pics from the US are popping up. And it's just interesting. It's like we're, like, well, you think we're backwards and we're kind of, no, you guys are behind.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating, you know, because with the different hemispheres of the world, how one will experience summer and winter are totally different times, which is wild to me, just that whole concept in general.
And you and I very nearly didn't talk from last week because we got that all mixed up, didn't we?
I did. I will take responsibility. I will take the blame for that. I mix up my times because we have guests on and we're blessed. I say that for real. Like, we're blessed to have guests from all over the world because I'm truly fascinated to learn and to share with our audience. But I messed up the time. Like, it's very, it can be very confusing. It really can. Or maybe I'm just stupid. A little both.
I'm just about to like get on with my day and you're probably getting ready for your lunch.
Sure. I'm going to ask a really silly question that has been kicked around my circle of friends and peers in the US about Australia for years.
Okay. I'll do my best to answer.
Is it true that the toilets flush counterclockwise there?
How did I know that was coming?
Because it's so cliche.
You'll have to, do you know what? I'm just going to leave that hanging there because you're going to have to come here and you have to find out for yourself.
You're challenging me to a toilet flush challenge. I love it.
Come across the world to find out for yourself.
I would love to visit Australia. Actually, it is on a place when I get the time to do so. I would love to take that flight and visit. Is that where you grew up, that particular city in Australia or Australia in general?
It's really not, Andrew. Like, that's the beautiful thing about Australia is that we have just this amazing melting pot.
I noticed that.
My family are Filipino, so I actually was born in the Philippines. I came to Australia not knowing a word of English and then kind of discovering, oh, I'm a little bit different. I'm not going to speak that funny language my parents speak.
Tagalog?
I'm going to speak English. No, not Tagalog, the other one, the one that no one thinks about. And actually, Manny Pacquiao's main language is Visaya, and that's what they speak.
Okay.
And for me, I was like, I want to be normal, just like everyone else. So I ended up just speaking English, and now I've lost the language, which is, that's a shame. It's a real shame.
When did you move from Philippines to Australia? And was it Brisbane that you moved to?
No, I was 4 years old when we moved from the Philippines to Australia, and we didn't move to Brisbane initially. We were in Darwin. So if you're probably not aware where that is, but that's kind of like in the very northern part of Australia, which is probably your idea of what Australia is, kind of like that outbacky type scenario.
So it's like Charles Darwin. You said Darwin? Charles Darwin and survival of the fittest?
Yes, exactly. And beautiful space. The beach is probably not ideal for swimming because either it's like rock jellyfish season or there's a crocodile it's really like that. So I was there for high school and then we moved my husband and my daughter and myself, the three of us, to Queensland, and we've just been here ever since.
Very cool. So growing up in where you did your formative years, where you were in school, what was it like? What kind of activities did you do, being that, you know, that's the territory you were in and maybe the education was a little bit different, maybe the activities the kids did were a little bit different?
Yeah. I have to be really careful. I don't want to be hating on Darwin.
It's no need for that.
That's where I grew up and I have a lot of ties there. I still have family and very good friends in Darwin. But I have to say, growing up there, I was itching to get out. Like, there's, in terms of like being a young person and kind of wanting to get out, you know, when you're young, like you're a teenager, you want to hang out in a shopping center. You want to be in a mall. You guys call it a mall. We call it a shopping center. You want to be in a mall. You want to have places to shop. You want exciting theme parks. And we just don't have that.
Yeah.
But looking back as an adult now, I'm like, you're crazy. We have this amazing landscape. We are in the Northern Territory. I don't know if you've heard of Uluru, but it's this giant rock kind of like in the middle of the desert. And it's this super spiritual place. And I lived there for years and I never once took that trip. So that's, do you know what I mean? All these things we take
always
for granted.
Always like that. Always like that.
Yeah.
You want to be a ballerina when you were really young, correct?
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I did ballet for a few years and then I think after a while, just before you start high school, it's not cute any, you know, it's not cool anymore. You want to do hip hop, you want to do what the cool kids are doing. So I kind of moved away from that. And then, yeah, I think that's what kind of brought me back into the yoga, because the whole ballet and the movement, and there's this element of, it's a spiritual practice, the dance, whether, you know, for better or for worse, it definitely is. So I think I'm slowly coming back to that, hey, through the yoga.
Okay, so, you know, after ballet, you gravitated to yoga, but tell me about, like, how and why you found yoga, and perhaps your first experience with yoga, and how you felt after the class, because it's always different for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. I was a dancer for a very long time, right up until I was a teenager, and then I had my daughter, and going back into the dance studio, I had like this fear of, like, my body was not what it used to be. So when you have a child,
yes,
you change, your body changes, and being young and you know, just the body confidence wasn't there.
Yeah.
So I kind of had a long break. But when I was dancing, before I had my daughter, our dance teacher would get us to do yoga. And I was like, wow, this, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but
you can.
It was like, shit, this is boring. Like, I never want to do this ever again. It was just this deep breathing and hanging out in these weird poses. And like, for me, it was just like, let's get on with this. Let's do the contemporary. Let's do the dancing. Let's go hard. And then over time, I think something just kept bringing me back to that movement. It was again in university. And then there was another visit to just this random kind of like little studios. I would never pre-planned it. I just would just gravitate to it.
Sure.
And it wasn't until after I had my third daughter, I was like feeling super overwhelmed. I just come back into the workplace at the call center that I mentioned.
Yes.
And here I am with this, you know, beautiful, healthy, happy family in this house that we had just bought, which I was in love with, like I'd envisioned in my mind, and then it manifested. And nice. I'm in this amazing, you know, amazing relationship with my husband. We're like more in love now than we ever have been. And I'm like, why am I still so unsettled? What's this thing that's kind of missing? Does that make sense?
I've had that feeling when everything seemed great and I didn't understand. So I can relate in a different scenario, but I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like, why? Like, I've got all my boxes ticked.
Yes.
Nothing that I could possibly be ungrateful for, and yet here I was like, okay, what else?
Why does it feel empty?
Yes, why? What is missing? Something's missing. And I think it really was like coming back to myself and time for me and finding out who I am, because being a parent so young, and you know, as a parent you're time is for your husband, your children, your home, and your career. And then there's like this mat who was kind of like this, my yoga mat, who was calling out to me. And after like a consistent practice over time, it was just like coming home. And I feel like it makes you a better parent, a better person even.
Yeah. Amen to that. I agree. It translates to everyone's life off the mat, no matter what your life looks like off the mat. I think yoga is a good, you know, that was well said too. Thank you for that. And by the way, referencing your comment about can you curse, this is a family friendly show, but I must preface with that it's a dysfunctional family show.
Yeah.
Family friendly show. So you can curse all you want, you know, who cares? All right.
I really, like, I can contain it. Like, I definitely don't swear around children and I don't swear in my classes, but I feel like, you know, when you're having a conversation with a mate, you know, with a friend, and you know, you're talking like this, like we're deep and meaningful right now. You can drop the F word, hey?
I mean, I've decided that, you know, there's no point in being gratuitous and excessive with profanity just for the sake that you can in this format. But if you're usually, like you're saying, like, you know, like when you're passionate or you're recalling something so vivid, it might
one might fly. So who cares? Yeah. I mean, it just, it's just being authentic into the way you're expressing yourself.
And sometimes there's just no other word. Like sometimes that word is just like the only word that can really kind of express that emotion or that, that feeling or that scenario.
You know, it's so funny. I did terrestrial radio for years and we couldn't curse, right? And I remember I never had a problem with it, but there was this other syndicated show that I would listen to, and they would refer to, you know, when they were talking about making love, they would have a code word, playing the piano. I just thought it was so corny and cheesy, you know, like when I was playing the piano the other night, so, you know, if mom's in the car with the kids, I get it, but it's like, that's so cheesy. Ace and TJ, you guys are really cornballs, man. Sorry.
Tell it like it is.
Hey, at one point though, before we dive deeper into the yoga story, you wanted to be a lawyer, but it was for all the wrong reasons. What's up with that? Can you tell us more?
I'm going to dig that one up. Okay. I feel like as a teenager, you're very impressionable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that you? Is that me? Just me or in general?
Oh, no. I don't want to hijack the interview. I was a mess. I was all over the place.
Right. And I had this, I was really into, you know, that Calista Flockhart series?
Allie McBeal.
And they had this like amazing law firm where everyone dressed like crazy cute. Everyone was an amazing singer. And like every night, it wasn't even like every Friday or every Saturday. It would be like every day after the working day, they go to the bar and then they have this massive dance off and then this karaoke session. And it was like, never mind that they're doing like this amazing work, you know, to bring justice into the world. It was just, you know, I'm a lawyer and I'm cute. And I can sing and I can dance. I was like, hey, I was like really drawn to that. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a lawyer and I'm going to do that so I can sing and dance at karaoke every night. And it just,
What? Who doesn't go to law school for that?
Right. And hey, like, don't knock it, because the whole franchise of Legally Blonde, which is amazing, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, she got into it to get her man back. So
there you go. And I also did a little bit of digging. You want to be a Britney Spears backup dancer at one point. I don't know if that ever came true, but I wanted to share with you on I believe it's episode 41 of our show. Brigetta Tamarchio was actually a backup dancer at one point in her career for Britney Spears. So I wanted to just...
No!
You have to listen to the interview, because I kind of get into like what that was like for a moment.
But you have to, like, if you look back, like looking back, I can kind of see the dots connecting, because it was all movement.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, the ballet and then the dancing, the karaoke and... the Britney Spears, like, it's all movement, it's all dance, and it's all around. So that's my message, is movement. Like, we need to move our bodies. We need, like, you know, move it or lose it. Hey, so do it through yoga, because it's not only just this thing that gets you to move your body, but it's a spiritual practice too. So looking back, and it sounds ridiculous, and I can't believe you're calling me out on this, but it's it makes sense, every part of it. Like, it's led me to where I am now. So no regrets.
No, none at all. I just want to say that, you know, since you're a mom, you had referenced, you know, working at the office and then wanting to transition out of the office. And before you got into teaching yoga, you wanted to work from home. What was that? Like, what were you thinking of doing from home? Because we can do so many different things now with the web and everything that is available to us.
Well, I was working from home for an insurance company, a very big insurance company. And up until 2 months ago, that was my day job. And working from home in like a call center work from home. Like, that's, and in all honesty, it sounds a bit lame, but that's a lot of people's dream jobs to do, you know, work from home, school hours.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, it's okay pay, and you're doing it like in your pajamas. Like, who cares, right? No one can see you. But it didn't kind of like excite me to come to work every morning. And I didn't have that passion and that drive. And I mean, it's a sweet gig, right? Like, for a mom to return back to work, it was perfect for me. But
I work from home now and I fucking love it. So
I know, it's amazing, right? It's like you get so lazy and you don't wear makeup, you don't have to wear anything, but the work didn't get me excited.
Yeah.
Like it didn't make me.
I understand it. Yeah. I get you. So moving forward to the transition to teaching yoga full time, how did that evolve? Where did you start teaching? Was it hard to get a true full-time position at first? Did you have to work your way up to that? How did that work out?
Well, I'm still in that process.
Yes.
To be honest, Andrew, because I only left that day job 2 months ago.
Wow. Okay.
And I started teaching about nearly 2 years ago now at a small gym. And I think I really have to credit the IG, the gram, for a lot of work that I've been invited to do.
Yeah.
So after I did my teacher training, then kind of I got noticed online and I got invited to studios to teach, and in fact to a photo shoot. Well, no, my friend got invited and she dragged me along, and this photo shoot that we did kind of led me to one of these amazing huge gyms, like one of these gyms that's really taking off here in Queensland. Yes. Right now. And from there, it was just one job after the other, after the other. And to the point now where I can say no, I don't have to say yes to every little thing. Because you know, when you first start out, you have now? The most is probably 14 in a week. It probably doesn't sound like a lot to you. If you're a parent and, you know, your husband works full time and he teaches group fitness, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Like
Are you doing physical adjustments as well? I know, like, so to get out of the house, I teach yoga a couple times a week at a gym, and I love it because it gets me out and interacting in public and in the real out in the world. But we're not allowed to do physical adjustments. So to me, after years of teaching and owning studios and doing physical adjustments, sometimes teaching 30, 35 classes a week, when you own two studios, you don't have a choice. I would literally, my body would be broken at the end of those weeks. So when they told me, we don't want you to assist, I was like, all right.
Like, really?
Yeah. You know, hey, I don't own the corporation. I'm not going to argue with them.
Yeah. So how does that affect your teaching?
Oh, at this point, Grace, I'm just teaching for fun. So, you know, I love the people that I teach, and I just come in and give them whatever class they want that day. And I could do that without physically assisting them. It's okay.
Oh.
But I do think everyone should learn how to assist. I did learn from great people in my own training who taught awesome adjustments, and it makes you a better teacher. And people love it. People love adjustments.
I think so. It means, like, you know, they see me. My instructor sees me and notices me and wants to help me, right? And then there's that connection. And this is a question for you, Andrew. How do you feel as a male teacher now, particularly with the whole Me Too movement? Like, how did that?
It's a great question, and one that I addressed. I've trained teachers. I have a school, and I have led three trainings, and I would address that. Even if I didn't have a man in my training, I would still address it to the women that as a man, I have to be conscious of a couple of things. First of all, someone's new to my class and other people are more familiar, that the new person's going to be watching. And you always ask at the beginning, usually maybe when in child's pose, and they just raise their hand so they don't feel stupid. You know, if you don't want to be assisted, it's okay. And make sure not to do traily fingers, creepy fingers, you know, respectfully come off, and save the deeper assists for the students that you really know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's important for me to do that with my students, but I am very conscious that, like, I feel like I can pick up on the energy enough to know when someone doesn't want to, even after if I've said something at the beginning of class. You kind of feel that energy, don't you, coming in?
You do. Yeah. It's an intuition. I would say that if everyone is okay with being assisted and you do have that new student or students in class, make sure that everyone at least gets assisted once. And you could do the easiest thing is just do a child's pose assist to everyone, or the Shavasana assist. Get, like, don't let anyone leave without, because I've been in a class where I haven't been assisted. And I looked around, I know other people are assisted. And I was like, what's wrong with me? You know?
Yeah,
and I never went back to that teacher's class.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Because to
me, you feel like ignored and like you haven't been seen. And
don't we suffer enough rejection in life as it is? I don't need a yoga class. So I'm going to move forward into where you're at now. And what do you see this progression of your teaching moving forward into the near future and maybe a couple of years out?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I've been teaching now for a couple of years and teaching full time for a couple of months. And I don't know, I'm going to put it back to you, Andrew. And is that sustainable? Like teaching, running around to different studios, I'm excited. I'm at that honeymoon period, hey, where the whole thing is just like exciting. And I don't mind driving for an hour to go to teach a class for 1 hour, because I'm just grateful to have work, right?
That's the right attitude. I was like you. So I think if I've seen people who have gone on and done well and people who haven't and have kind of petered off, you're on the right path because you have that attitude where it's like, yeah, I have a chance to teach. Of course I'm going to drive an hour. That's how I was. So I look at that as the right, quote unquote, the right attitude, because to me, that's what's going to separate you and make you keep working.
Yeah. You know? So it's like, it's sustainable, like in 2, 3, 5, 10, I'm going to keep wanting, I mean, that's probably not something you can answer, but.
It's a very complicated question because there's no one specific answer I could say that everyone will agree with or will personally say that that was their own experience. So I can only talk about my own experience and what I've seen other people and heard from the people I've directly spoken to. Is it sustainable to teach yoga full time? My answer is going to be yes and no. Depends what your approach is and what you're looking to accomplish in your own situation. And I say that meaning, are you going to use the tools that we have and expand your teaching reach to outside of your market because you're starting to teach using online? You know, I think that is a great tool that people can use to, you know, generate income, extra sources of revenue. And you could also literally, you know, develop a following just online and create courses, create workshops, because there's people actually, I know here in the States, and I assume anywhere in any country, they don't live by any studios. So yes, their only option is to go online and tap into that, you know, don't sleep on that, I would say is our expression, you know?
Yeah. And I completely agree with you. Like, as much as I'm enjoying this, like teaching and this, you know, face-to-face, this connection, I wonder, like, can you make it, can you do something like on a side hustle so that if, say, for whatever reason you get sick or your family gets sick or for whatever reason something happens and you can't physically be there in a studio, can you have that like side hustle and where to begin? Because I know, I mean, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking YouTube, and I'm thinking like right now I do like sponsored posts as well. And it's not steady enough for me to be able to say, you know, hey, I can teach three or four less classes now because I've got this sponsor. It's not like that. It's just like really, but I'm pretty selective too about who I work with as well, because the brand has to kind of align with me and what I stand for. And so I think outside of that, I mean, courses, that's another good one. And ebooks, I'm wondering, ebooks, has that been done, or do you think that's still valid these days? Or
it actually is still valid, and I say that not because I'm the expert, it's because I just watched a recent webinar from two people that are experts and pop up websites and monetize them. And the ebook is something that they talk about as being relevant. It's also making courses. It could be a basic yoga course or whatever. In this case, the guy was into photography. So he just made a basic photography course and all these people signed up. And again, they don't guarantee that, you know, that's going to work for everybody, but they've tried a lot of things and made mistakes. And they said, you know, basically we've messed up so much that we found what doesn't work. And now we know basically what has worked for us. It doesn't mean that everything's a guarantee, but they share that. And I'm sharing that with you is that one thing, because you brought it up, that they did say, so it is relevant, I think, according to what they said. As far as And they shot that in March, so it's not they shot the video I watched in March, so it's not like it's 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I can recall a time. It must have been around 2014, around about the time I joined Instagram. In fact, it was 2015 when I joined Instagram, that it was like the thing, right? Like all the bigger accounts, they were, so I mean, they're still doing it to this day, and I think there are still new ones popping in, but I just wondered if is the market saturated, particularly in the IG community. I don't venture out of IG. I will be. I'm looking at, what's that one? What the kids are using? Snapchat?
Yeah. So one thing that I haven't spoken about yet on the show, but it's somebody that I'm going to be teaming up with, and they handle my social media now, because my thing is like, you can learn how to do things that are not your strengths or not your area of expertise, but it might take time. And then also there's people that are just already out there doing it that are expert at it. So hire out, you know, the best you can. I waited a while to choose who was going to run my social media, because a lot of the people or services that run, for example, the Instagram services, you find that they have followers, but they'll give people like robots that leave fake comments, and it means nothing, because you want to form a connection with people who are actually interested in your particular service, particular, you know what I mean? So I have linked up with a service that is so great. It's organic. It's real, like real people. It's based on a technique and a research method they use when you actually interview with them to talk about what it is you want to do. And that's how you hashtag it up. That's how you pinpoint your location. And it's crazy. And it works, because I have another Instagram handle where I just use it for my production service for podcasts. And every day I have leads. You know what I mean? It's hitting the right people. It's real people.
Yeah, wow.
You know, we haven't like really promoted yet. We're going to go full force soon.
Oh, that is such a massive time saver, right?
Oh my gosh. And also the SEO. So I pay attention, like, because they're nice enough to tell me, you know, they work for me, but I'm like, hey, I got a question about that. So it's like, they'll tell me what they're doing. And I tell them, like, I'm not looking to do what you're doing for me. Like, I'm still going to use you. I just want to be informed. And it's so crazy, because it's like with the knowledge that we think we have of SEO and what everyone's doing, so even a little bit of knowledge, it's like going to a gunfight with a butter knife. We don't know anything.
You're so not prepared.
No. And people are so expert in it and what they're doing to get recognized. It's like you need it. Otherwise, you're just going to have this great content or, you know, your service.
And then no one sees it.
You're screaming in the forest, you know, and nobody can hear you. So I think it's a great question that you asked, that led to this conversation. And if the web is such a great tool, but everyone wants to use it, and everyone is using it.
And you know what, Andrew, I've had this conversation with other yoga instructors in the past, and they're not for the social media. For them, it's very like ego driven, and yes, it can be.
Yeah.
But in honesty, what it is, it's a business card, and it's saying, this is, you know, this is me. These are the services that I offer. This is, and how can I help you? And it gets you seen. And I really have to, and like for you not to use it, the way I see it is, how dare you not share your talent, your services to the world? If anything, you're being selfish by not sharing that, right?
Huge mistake to think that it's irrelevant or it's childlike because it's none of those. I don't know if you've heard of Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I just finished Crush It.
Woo. Yeah, I read that too.
Crushing It.
The second one, yeah, I read that. And So read, you know, like he talks a lot about and a lot of stuff. And I saw a recent video of him talking. I don't know if you know who Larry King is over in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Is it the same one with the...
Yeah. Hello, Larry King. Yeah. I got my sister. So yeah, it's Larry King. And there's a video of Gary Vee talking with Larry King. And he's telling him, he's like, you know, Larry, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, those are the new Fox, CNN, MTV, ABC, you know what I mean? Like, those are your channels. Like, so don't think that it's not. And, like, Larry's head was gonna explode. He's like, what do you mean? It's like, like his head like spun off his neck, but he's not gonna get it. You know, he's but we should. We should get
it. We absolutely should. Like, I know of teachers who don't even like have a website, and I'm like, you're crazy. You're an amazing teacher. You need to put this out there. People want to know about you. People want to connect. And it's, oh well, you know, there's word of mouth, and I'm like, yeah, that can only get you so far. And word of mouth is great, right?
Yeah.
But at least, I think there's a Facebook page for him. At least an Instagram, which Facebook is still relevant, I'm sure. But like a website, and just getting eyeballs onto you and your business and what you offer.
Exactly.
How can you not? Most of it's free, right? Like, it costs nothing to start an Instagram page.
It's amazing. You know, the opportunities, and, you know, Gary Vee talks about this all the time. He's like, you're insane if you think that we don't live in this amazing time that you could really have these opportunities to be seen, to be heard, that did not exist. I mean, I'm a product of the past, like of terrestrial radio, where you had to be in the select few that were able to work and make it into that, you know, chosen company or companies that own the media. But now you don't. You know, now you have to really, you have the opportunity to do it. It's there for everyone. But will everyone make it? You know, probably not. But you have the chance, and it's an extraordinary time to be around and to blow this off as just silly, or I don't have time for it.
Or ego, or it's not yoga, because it's all ego.
It's bullshit. And you know, when I own my studios, I used to goof on it because I own the studio. So of course I was gonna beat up on social media and make fun of it because I was a studio owner, brick and mortar. So I was just doing, even though I knew in the back of my head it was great, I was just doing it to fight, you know, just to hold my ground. But in truth, it's amazing. And this podcast is like the same thing. You know, the podcast has been connecting with so many different people and opportunities to where I'm going to be doing retreats. And you talk about, you know, how do you monetize and expand, which you do as a yoga instructor. Retreats is a great one. They don't have to be on an island somewhere, you know, like some exotic place. You can start with local ones, you know, weekend getaways was suggested to me to test the waters. You could expand what you learn. In other words, so you're not just a yoga instructor. Perhaps you are now an expert in meditation. You teach people how to meditate. Or perhaps you start to dive into NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, or things like that, right? And that becomes your extra offerings, or Reiki. You know, so it's like, don't be so one-sided. Like, I'm a yogi, I'm a purist, I must be this.
Yeah.
You know, you can do that all the way to the grave. You know what I mean? You can do that, you know, and be stubborn and be too good for it all. But you're only shooting yourself in the foot. That's how I really think that people need to open their minds, and those who don't are going to lose.
Yeah, I agree. I think I 100% agree. And like, I mean, just from my IG alone, you'll know that I'm an oversharer. And I'm like, hey, you know, it's about building that personal brand, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank you, because this world is this whole navigation of this social media is very complicated, and the web. But you can win. You can do it. You can win, but it's very complicated. And I know that I can't do it alone. I could sit here and try to, you know, take webinars and learn all this, and maybe I'll get better. But there's people that do it day in and day out that have been doing it for years, and even they'll tell you it constantly changes, and they have to update their knowledge. So I'm going to focus on what I do. I talk, I podcast, you know, I teach yoga and all that, you know, maybe lead some retreats and expand I produce podcasts. I mean, I'm going to focus on what I do and let the rest, you know, be promoted by the people who are expert at it, because it will blow your mind, the things that, I mean, my head almost exploded when I was like, are you kidding me? That's all that goes into this? Like, when you put content on a website, you have to follow this protocol so that SEO is proper. Another thing I was told that made no sense to me was let's say, for example, there's a description of my podcast on a website, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the main podcast website, it says on the about page, it says this particular verbiage. And then I was just writing it the same on every place it appeared. Well, I was told, no, reframe it on every place it's posted. And I was like, but it's the about, it's the same thing. They're like, no, it will help your SEO to like.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I never heard it. So there's so much,
And there is something about how like SEO can pick up on copy and paste as well.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Is that a thing?
I don't know. Yeah. I'll ask the girl marketing.
I think it might be like SEO really loves like original content. Similar to like, I mean, Instagram, I'm still getting my head around Instagram and that's my main platform. I've got my website, I've got my IG. I'm just about to get into Facebook. Would you believe I've never really, it's mind boggling. And I'm still discovering things on IG that you would think someone who's been on there for 3 years would know, but I'm still learning.
It's been so fantastic to speak with you.
Yeah, it's been really good.
I want to help you promote in the show notes where people can find you. And of course, you could speak it right now. And for the people that are audio and are going to type it down right now and head over to your social and web, by all means do so. But I promise to put it in the show notes as well. So it will plug away.
Well, okay. So website, head on to GraceTeale, GRACETEALE.com. That's a website. And you can get onto my IG handle too, which is just GraceTeale Yoga, all one word, no spaces, no underscore. I promote a lot about movement through the practice of yoga. I do the blog that I'm working on at the moment is like a mummy blog, believe it or not. And look out for a YouTube channel because that's coming up soon. I'm just I've got a few videos that I've just been finished being done, so I'm gonna launch that shortly as well.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. So we'll get all that up on the show notes, whatever you'd like to include. And I got one last question before you go. So in Australia, right? Like, does everyone get a free Outback steak knife from the government?
See, that's another one of those things that you're going to have to come over here. And you have
okay. Because Grace, I've never done it, but people steal those freaking things here in the States.
Yeah, right.
Because they're so good.
It is so bizarre. Yeah. And you know what? I don't even eat steak. Like I'm a vegetarian.
I don't either. I just heard about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. So Grace Teale, there she is. Thank you so much for being on the Yoga Talk Pod, as we're now called. And always welcome to come back on the show. Keep in touch and good luck on your journey. I look forward to following it. And I do believe you'll find continued success.
Thank you so much, Andrew. It's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed our chat today.
Yoga Talk Pod with Andrew Gordon.
Hey, it's Andrew. And we would love if you become part of the new Yoga Talk Pod squad. Just go to Patreon, patreon.com/YogaTalkPod. 30% discount on all of our merchandise that we will have up in our shop, which is in the process of being built. We will give you, this I can guarantee, access to premium episodes every single week. So that means this week we'll do a special vlogcast for being part of the Yoga Talk Pod squad. It's our way of saying thank you by clicking on the Patreon page, which takes you to Yoga Talk Pod squad. We look forward to meeting you there.